Welcome to segment two of the 3-Point Stance. Here on segment two, we're going to start out with our top performers of the week. This is where we let you know who had the best week at each position.
Then after that, we're going to get into some struggling running backs. You know, running backs, kind of the position you expect sometimes to carry you through the fantasy week. And if you had these guys, you might have been a little disappointed with the output.
And then we're going to get to some good-looking tight ends from week one. You know, tight end is one of those positions where you have your top five guys, and then after that, there's sort of a big mix. We're going to get into who could really stand out from that group from week one anyway, and then we're going to end up with some shout-outs. So, honestly, Rob, why don't you start us out with our top performers of the week?
All right. Thanks, Jason. For your top quarterback is Tom Brady with 34. I think that's pretty obvious to everybody. Ray Rice was your top running back with 26, although there are three running backs right at the very top there. But Ray Rice would have been your very top. Wide receiver Steve Smith of Carolina with 29 after that Cam Newton explosion. Tight end Scott Chandler. Defense 49ers with 26. And kicker David Akers, switch teams, still kicking great, with 15. To actually make the round out the best team, your running back two would have been Mike Tolbert, also with 26. For the flex, you would use a running back at this point. You'd use LeSean McCoy with 25, and your other wide receiver would have been Wes Welker with 28. Best team total, 227 points.
Wow.
So how'd you guys stack up to that?
Not good. Not good at all.
Did all right.
About maybe one-third that, but I still won, so whatever.
All right, so moving on from our top performers, we're going to get to and also with our top performers, I wanted to mention, listen to that segment every week and you know, start listening for players that are always in there.
Yeah.
And try to make some trades for those guys, because those are the guys you really want on your team, your consistency and your good performers.
Yeah, so. I mean, that's the key to winning fantasy games is consistency. Guys you can count on every week to at least get you a certain amount of points. Mm-hmm. You know, those are going to allow you to even, you know, maybe go for some of those feast or famine players because, you know, hey, I can count on this many points from this guy, maybe I'm going to take a chance with this guy over here, you know. But yeah, consistency is definitely what you want to shoot for in fantasy.
Okay, so next up on the 3-Point Stance, we're going to get to some struggling running backs. These are guys you drafted probably pretty high in your draft. You expected to pay some dividends for you. Not really working out. Number one on my list anyway is Chris Johnson here.
Woo.
9 rush, 24 yards. Did have 6 receptions, which is good if you're in a PPR league, but only 25 yards there too. 4 points in standard scoring.
Oh, my Lord. Training camp. It doesn't help anybody, does it, Chris Johnson? Does it? Here's the thing. He missed training camp. He wasn't there like he was supposed to be because he was holding out for his contract. I do not expect this to be a typical performance from Chris Johnson. I think he's going to get his legs back under him. He's going to be in game shape in the next coming weeks, if not this week. I'm not going to panic too much here.
I'm not going to panic on him. I am a little down on him for the year in terms of I don't think he's going to have as good a year as last year. But, you know, in terms of this type of effort, he's going to step it up from this.
Yeah.
From a 4-point effort, he's got nowhere to go but up. And they only gave him 9 rushes. You know, his production will go up from there as they give him more carries.
Right.
So, you know, it's just this is basically his training camp right now.
Yeah. So don't fret too much, I would say.
Yeah, and another first-round pick, Jamal Charles.
Yeah.
10 rush, 56 yards, another 9 yards receiving. But it did have a touchdown to sort of save his day for 9 points there. But.
The problem with that game was they were playing the Bills. Obviously, we already talked about how good of a game Ryan Fitzpatrick had. They were throwing the ball a lot to try to stay in the game. You know, that basically the game plan of kind of evening out the running and the passing goes out the window when you're down by that much. So that's why he didn't get as many carries as you probably expected. I would say in the coming weeks, you're going to see more of what you drafted him for, you know, and the fact is he still did have a touchdown, even though he might have not had the yards to go with it. He had a couple catches, couple rushes, you know. I would expect more production moving forward, though. They were just getting blown out.
Yeah, he had 15 overall touches, but I mean, I think for him going forward, you got to expect it'll go up from there. And as you said, he did have the touchdown, so he's still sort of their red zone, target.
And Todd Haley did come out, the coach did come out and say that Charles is going to get more of a workload. Mm-hmm. You know, they were just getting blown out. That's why he didn't get as many touches as they expected to get him.
Yeah. You know? I think Jamal Charles is definitely going to step it up. These next two running backs I want to talk about, though, really, really baffled me with their stats. Because one is Frank Gore. He had 22 rushes for only 59 yards.
That's ridiculous.
And ended up with 6 points. 22 rushes for 59 yards?
That's ridiculous. That whole offense just looked ridiculous.
I think this is a Frank Gore thing, though. I mean, don't get me wrong. Frank Gore has been very high production, but there have been very frustrating weeks. I know I was a Frank Gore owner last year, and prior to the injury, there have been very frustrating weeks where Frank Gore just seems to not be able to move the ball. Other weeks, he's moving it through the air. He's moving it, catching it, you know, and then running, and then also moving it on the ground. But some weeks, he just gets very frustrated. So I guess in a way, I'm not surprised. But for a guy you expect to do well, yeah, I guess I kind of am surprised.
I mean, if you watch the game, it seems to be the way that they're moving the ball, the 49ers are moving the ball, seems to be like this kind of West Coast, you know, shots to Vernon Davis really seem to be the best weapon that they had, you know. But all in all, it just, the offense just looked very just blah, you know, really.
And I think that's why David Akers ended up having such a good week. I mean, they kept stalling out in the red zone. You know, he had four field goals, Akers did, and not a single one of them was further longer than 31 yards.
Yeah, and I mean,
so, I mean, they were getting in the red zone, but just stalling out.
And without Ted Ginn there, they lose that game, you know. Yeah. I mean, I think they know that. So hopefully, you kind of look in the coming weeks, you know, maybe Alex Smith settling in a little bit more. They believe in him there. I mean, they really do believe
just
in him there.
Baffling to
Don't
me.
Don't ask
but
me why, but they do. So I would say moving forward, I think we're going to see a even out more. I mean, that was their first game with the new head coach there, you know, so I think that they were kind of trying to get their bearings a little bit. But I would say moving forward, you know, you're probably going to see a little bit more production from Frank Gore.
I think, like Honest Rob pointed out, you know, you're going to have some up and down weeks with Frank Gore, but I think overall he's going to look better than he did this week.
Yeah.
Another one that sort of baffled me was Peyton Hillis. Another one, lots of rushes, 17 rushes, only 57 yards, did catch six for 30 yards, but again, only 8 points for him.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a decent week for a running back. I don't think Peyton Hillis is going to have as good of a season as he did last year, which is hard for me to say because you know that's my boy.
I know you love some Peyton Hillis.
But I think he's going to have a monster week this week, and most of the people on ESPN are agreeing with me that they actually even had an article about it, about how Peyton Hillis is just looking to have a monster week this week. So, I mean, I don't really see his performance last week as a bad week, though. It just wasn't maybe as much as you might have expected, you know?
Well, I am a little down on him from this year anyway. I think he's not going to have as good of a year as last year, but I think a lot of his value is going to rely on touchdowns.
Yeah.
So when he doesn't get in the end zone like this week, you know, you're looking at this type of production, and that's not, you know, what you're looking for out of a running back one, certainly, and probably not even a running back two.
Yeah, I mean, I think his receptions help him out a lot. You know, they're trying to offensively find out their identity at this point. They're going to be throwing a little bit more. Colt McCoy has actually proven that he can do that, whereas last year, they didn't really have that threat.
Yeah.
So I think that moving forward, now that they do have a passing game going, and the defense can't just load up eight defenders in the box, I think you're actually going to see Peyton Hillis break out a little bit more. I think that this was just a case of them trying to figure out, you know, their identity moving forward, you know, week one. So
yeah, I agree. I think he's going to start to look up, but you know, it'll be when he gets touchdowns, in my opinion. Another one I wanted to talk about was LeGarrette Blount, just because, you know, he's probably a second, maybe third round, you know, pickup in most leagues.
That was nasty performance.
He had 5 rushes for 15 yards, 1 point.
Yeah,
1 point.
That was, wow. Lions D. I just wanted to throw that out there.
Lions D, yes, but it wasn't even that. It was just that they weren't working him at all. I mean, 5 rushes.
Really.
They had Ernest Graham in there most of the time.
Yeah, which, how weird was that?
Yeah. So, I think you got to expect him to get more touches in the future, right?
I'm as baffled as you. I can't quite figure it out at this point. You know, coaches do some weird things sometimes. You know, I guess inside a coach's head is a scary place to be. But, you know, I think that moving forward, you know, we're probably going to see a little more. I'm not that high on Blount anyway. You guys know that. I've never been a huge believer in him. I think he's very Ryan Grant-ish. You know, he'll just run right through the line until you put someone in front of him. That will get you good for short yardage situations. I'm never looking at him to get huge gains, though. It's just, you know, he'll get 20 carries and get you, you know, 60 yards, but he'll get you touchdown. That's the big thing. He has touchdowns, and especially kind of what you were saying with Peyton Hillis, except for Hillis also has receiving. But when you take that touchdown away from Blount, you're never going to get a huge yardage day from him.
Yeah,
you know?
This guy worries me second most out of all the running backs here, just because 5 rushes and they're putting Ernest Graham in there most of the time. That's worrying to me.
Yeah, especially Ernest Graham. He doesn't even look good, which is the weirdest thing.
And the other guy who worries me is Sean Green, because he only had 10 rushes for 26 yards. He had 1 reception, and you know, LT's getting most of the work there.
I'm sorry, LT looked better.
Exactly.
He just looked better.
Exactly, and that's what worries me about Sean Green. I mean, you drafted him probably to be a running back 2 on your team, and you're just not getting that type of production out of him right now.
The only thing you can hope for is that LT wears down if they end up going to the playoffs, and towards the end of the season.
You want to play the old man card, huh?
Maybe just stash him on your bench, you know?
LT could definitely wear down. I mean, he's certainly not one of the younger guys.
Week one, it was LT all the way.
Yeah, he looked a lot better than Sean Green. I'd be panicking right now on Sean Green and LeGarrette Blount both a little
bit. Definitely get me a little antsy.
You know, too, and also, I don't know. I just think about this. I think the Jets must have a Lazarus pit in the back, in the back, because think of you got LT was aging, falling apart. Mm-hmm. Surprise, he's back. Right. Derek Mason's back. I mean, these guys just go to, you think they're going to go to New York to die, and then they turn around and come back, and they just blow you away.
Maybe so, even Joe Namath next, huh?
Yeah.
We'll bring back Broadway Joe.
Yes.
I like it.
Yes. Drunk and hitting on reporters all the way.
Don't forget about Thomas Jones.
Yeah, that's true. Thomas Jones had one of his best years there when he was 30, I think. So, yeah.
Can't hate on the Jets. Can't hate on the Jets, man.
All right, moving on here on the three-point stance. We're going to get to some good-looking tight ends from week number one. As I said in the intro there, you've got about your top five tight ends. And then after that, there's just sort of a big cluster of tight ends. And so we're trying to pick out from week one, you know, some ones that are going to stand out for you.
And one of the things that we did in some of our preseason shows, if you listen to those, we actually gave you some sleeper picks as far as tight ends go. And not to brag. Not to say that we're all that.
But we do like to brag.
Yeah, a little bit. We do this show for a reason. All of our tight ends had a very good week this week. So, Jason, you want to take it away with some of the tight ends you're looking at there?
Sure. Well, I'll start out with our picks. Mine was Jimmy Graham. He had 4 receptions, 56 yards, and a touchdown for 11 points. So, obviously, a good week for him. Yours was Jermaine Gresham. He had 6 receptions, 58 yards, and a touchdown there. Also 11 points.
That's right, Jason. Pettigrew, not quite as good as the other two guys we just talked about. He had 4 catches for 57 yards and no touchdowns. He did have some flashes of brilliance. I know the game was really, really hot in Tampa Bay. There was a couple that he dropped that he probably shouldn't have, but look out for Pettigrew to get in the end zone.
And they were looking for him, too, which I think is an encouraging sign.
Absolutely,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not all about the stats with Pettigrew. He also just looked pretty good in there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe not the same stats that Gresham and Graham had, but a one to watch also.
And then again, though, if he would have caught a touchdown, you know, we would have been talking about him in the same breath as, you know, the other two. It's just the other two, you know, they weren't exceptionally better as far as yards or catches. They just had those touchdowns
that
Pettigrew didn't have. But, yeah, look for it in the future. You know, they kind of have, you know, Calvin Johnson, obviously their big guy, Nate Burleson, their speedy guy. Mm-hmm. And then he kind of rounds out that whole receiving core that they have going on there, you know.
And getting back to our tight ends here, I think the one that you should really go out and grab if you have a chance is Aaron Hernandez. Kid had 7 receptions, 103 yards, and a touchdown. And what I really like, 10 targets.
That's always good, especially with Brady throwing to you. Granted, he's not going to have this kind of week every week. Brady's not, because he just went bananas. But, you know, and then the other tight end there.
Rob Gronkowski,
He gets slept on because Aaron Hernandez is the kind of the sexy pick, but he did work too. You know what I'm saying? So
I think he had 80 yards and a touchdown, something like that. So,
so both tight ends in New England are looking good. If you can get your hands on either one of them, I would say that moving forward, those look like they have the potential to be every week starts.
Yeah, and the thing I like about the Patriots right now is they're running a lot of 2 tight end sets. So you're going to have Hernandez and Gronkowski out there together a lot.
And they're kind of 2 different tight ends. You kind of got, you know, Hernandez is a little bit, you know, more speedy. Kind of looks like Antonio Gates almost out there. And then he got the Gronk, which if he's coming at you and you're a cornerback, you're in a lot of trouble.
Hernandez is more of a hybrid tight end.
And
this is definitely a 2 tight end offense. I just pulled it up for you, Brad. The Gronk had 6 grabs for 86 yards and a touchdown on 7 targets.
Woo!
So, I mean, the guy's not only getting targeted, he's catching the ball, too.
Yeah, which is always sometimes a problem with tight ends. You know, the hands aren't the greatest. But he's catching what's being thrown at him, and he's doing things with him. You know, so both those tight ends, if they're available in your league, and let's say you have someone, maybe you picked up a Mercedes Lewis thinking he was going to have the same type of season, you know, he was going to have last year, and I just don't see it. So I would feel much more comfortable with one of these guys moving forward. Granted, like I said, Tom Brady's not going to throw for this many yards every week, but I still think you can plan on seeing pretty steady production out of both those tight ends moving forward.
I agree. And another tight end duo I want to look at here is actually in Cleveland. Ben Watson and Evan Moore both had pretty good games. Low on the receptions, 3 receptions, 45 yards for Ben Watson, but he had a touchdown, and then 3 receptions, 35 yards for Evan Moore, but he also had a touchdown.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Colt McCoy's hitting his tight ends in the end zone.
And that's kind of like that West Coast style that Colt McCoy is really getting known for. You're not going to bomb it downfield for a 70-yard reception, but he is going to dump it off to you. You are going to get some catches underneath, and in the end zone, in the red zone, who's your best target? You know, some big guy with pretty decent hands that a cornerback has no idea how to cover.
Yeah.
You know, so it with all those kind of West Coast style offenses, tight ends are usually a pretty good bet.
It's a little more feast or famine with these guys because, yeah. I mean, if they don't get the touchdown, you know, you look at Evan Moore, who had 3 receptions, 35 yards.
Yeah.
If he doesn't have that touchdown, you know, it's not a great game. But
yeah.
when they're getting those touchdowns, I think they're good guys to throw in there.
Yeah, these are, you know, maybe if you had someone that got injured, you know, you kind of ended up just get you used one of your last picks to grab a tight end, just kind of what was left on the board. Maybe you took a chance with a rookie or something like that. You know, these are some people that might get you a little bit of better production,
yep.
you know.
And then another one I want to talk about is Ed Dixon. They're in Baltimore. He had 5 receptions, 59 yards and a touchdown on 5 targets, which is awesome. He caught every target that
yeah.
went his way, so that's always good. Good set of hands on him.
Definitely.
And then the last one I want to talk about, and this is more of a sort of wait-and-see thing, is Jeff King. He had 2 receptions, only 2, which is not good, but
right.
61 yards and a touchdown there in Arizona on 3 targets. So,
and for a tight end, that's some pretty good
yeah.
yardage.
And they also have Todd Heap in Arizona.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe watch this guy. Maybe he's going to start taking that tight end one type
yeah.
of role.
We'll just
I don't
know. Have to wait and see on that one.
And then also Scott Chandler, keep an
yes,
eye on him.
Yes, definitely, from Buffalo. He got a lot of production this week. Top tight end, I believe, for,
yes, he
for
was
the week.
The top tight end.
We like to wrap up a show with some shout-outs. I got to give a shout-out to Gnostics. They're a band from Australia. Ended up giving us our intro song, so I'm really digging that one. So go check out the band Gnostics. You can get them on iTunes. Want to thank them for hooking us up with our intro music.
Definitely. Thank you very much to them. I'm going to do sort of a trio of shout-outs here. I got to do Tom Brady, Ray Rice, and Matt Forte for you know bolstering my team up to the highest point total that has ever been had in that league. So thank you guys so much.
Way to brag, Jason. Thanks.
it was over bread.
Hey, we didn't need to talk about that.
I'm going to keep it local, keep it in the family. I'm going to shout out my pregnant wife, Sarah. Things have been going really well lately as far as we're getting close to that baby. So I'm getting honest, Rob's getting pretty excited.
Honestly, he's getting pretty excited.
Yeah,
see what I did
yeah.
there? See what I did there? All right, that's going to do it for us here on the 3-Point Stance. I'm Brad.
I'm Honest Rob with Stats.
And I'm Jason. Everybody remember, we'd like to hear your emails. Keep them rolling in for us. We're going to answer your lineup questions, your trade questions, anything you got for us. You can email us at the3pointstance@gmail.com, and that is the number 3, not the word 3. And everybody remember to keep your fantasy on the field.